I would like to welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, July 21st, 2025. This would be our last meeting before our summer recess, and just sharing a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. If you would like to make any comments, you can unmute yourself or mute yourself by pressing star six. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everybody who's joining through the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise or lower your virtual hands. If people are able to utilize these tools, that will be very helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. I do request that everyone please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps eliminate any external noise. So in advance, thank you. Just a reminder that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. I do request everyone to please state your name when you start making your comments because it's helpful for the interpreters in doing their job well. It helps people who are on the phone calls knowing who the speakers are. And when anyone listens to the meeting audio afterwards, it will be helpful for them as well. As you do know that this meeting gets recorded, is being recorded now, and we place the audio of our meetings on the website. I do want to remind any members of the public that if you would like to make comments during the public comment section, please let us know in advance if feasible. You can either send me a chat message or you can raise your virtual hands when we begin the public comment section. And Chair Semaphore, just as another reminder that when people start making their comments initially, we request for them to briefly describe themselves. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I'm wearing reading glasses, and I have off-white cream colored top today. So that would be just a brief description initially when people speak. And Chair Semaphore, if you concur, I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud and then go to the roll call of the committee members.
Sure, please.
Okay, great. Thank you. And before I start reading the agenda, I would like to have it displayed on my screen. So when it's visible, please, if somebody can confirm, I will appreciate that.
I can see it.
Okay, thank you. So as soon as I finish reading the agenda, we'll go through the roll call of the committee members. Afterwards, Chair Ford will go through the review and approval of today's meeting minutes and last month's meet, excuse me, today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. We have reports, which include commendations report, customer service report, and outreach, if any. We have awards session today, including the Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. And because this is the month, 35 years ago when the ADA went into law, we will just mention briefly about the Americans with Disabilities Act. And afterwards, we will have Metro Access Service updates by Christian Blake, Vice President of Access Services. At 4:45, we are expecting to have the Uber representative. At 5:20, Chair Semaphore and the committee will go over the Metro Access Subcommittee work plan. At 5:35, we will begin public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. That is all for the agenda, and I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. Going into the roll call. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia. I just want to state for the record that Tino had informed he may not be able to join today. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy.
I'm here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
I'm here.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangren. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Swatha Nandakumar. Sandy Newsell.
Present.
Thank you. Bill Posner. Sarah Rod.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Samelford.
Here.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simoneau and Philip Weintraub. Okay. With that, Chair Samelford, I will ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
All right, thank you so much. All right, as we go through this wonderful, tightly packed agenda, and I know everyone has their questions, so let us begin with, we already did our roll call, approval of the meeting agenda. Are there any changes or additions to this agenda? It's fully packed, and I think we will cover everything, anything that everyone has. Can I get a motion to move it as is?
Don't
All those
move.
in favor,
Don't
please do
move.
so by saying aye.
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 Nays,
Aye.
abstentions. All right. The motion carries to approve the agenda as is. The prior meeting minutes of last month are there for the month of June. Are there any changes or corrections to the minutes or any comments? Hearing the crickets, can I get someone to move the last month's subcommittee minutes as is?
Still moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions. The motion carries to approve the minutes as is of last month of June 2025 for the Metro Access Subcommittee. Next, we will have accommodations, customer service, and outreach, starting with Ms. Anderson and her wonderful team and company.
Thank you so much, Chair Samelford. My name is Allison Anderson. I'm a middle-aged African American female with two strand twists as my hairstyle today and a red Metro Access Rodeo shirt on today. It is my pleasure to introduce Mr. Dolan Chittums with our PASS team to give the public comment resolution report from our last session. Mr. Chittums.
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums, African American male, long locks, wearing a red shirt. So there was one outstanding public comment to be addressed from the AAC meeting held on June 2nd, 2025. The concern involved a customer stating they were dropped off 45 minutes after their appointment time. Upon further review, it was determined that the trip was had been booked as a subscription ride, not based on a specific appointment time. Additionally, the customer actually arrived at the destination approximately 1 hour and 30 minutes earlier than the comparable fixed route equivalent time. During the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting held on June 16, 2025, there was one outstanding public comment. The comment pertained to a customer stating she experienced difficulty using her power mobility device while boarding via the ramp on a new next generation vehicle. In response, Metro Access conducted an on-site visit to the customer's location to gather additional details and better understand the concern. Now moving to commendations. In June 2025, there were 417 commendations. Among the recipients, Central Avenue received 60, Challenger received 51, Transdev OCC received 163, Industrial Road received 16, Hubbard Road received 82, MTM received 2, and Abilities Drive received a total of 43. This concludes my report.
Thank you so much. And to note, yes, Abilities Ride is hopefully here to stay. We love it. So that's all I'm going to say on it right now. Any questions from committee members for Mr. Dolan Chittums here? Having said none, Ms. Anderson, anything for outreach?
I would like to turn that over to Mr. Blake. Mr. Blake, do you have any comments regarding outreach?
Yes, Christian Blake, African American male, Vice President of Metro of Access Services. Right at the start of this month, well, I think it was the last Saturday of June, I did participate, attend and participate in a DC Project Action meeting. And it was a spirited discussion, a lot of questions, a lot of good discussions. And they said I can be invited back at the next quarterly meeting. I don't have the exact date right now, but as we get closer, I'll share that date with you all in case anyone is interested. Their meetings are on Saturday mornings. So that was a fun time. Project Action DC. That's all I have.
Thank you so much. All right, Miss Anderson, anything for the Metro Access, the Michael Wilson Award or ACC Metro Access Safety Awards?
Yes, sir. I am happy to first introduce the Transdev team. Oh, I think I see Mr. Sheehan with his hand up.
Go ahead, Mr.
No, we
Sheehan.
can. You can go ahead with this, and then I had a question for you afterwards concerning Paul, maybe the Metro Act chair discussion that we were going to talk about. Didn't know where you had that.
There was an email sent to you, Miss Anderson, from a customer that I'm sure you got and probably can share more details at a later part of this meeting
Okay.
about her power wheelchair. Her
About
chair,
her.
wheelchair.
Yes.
Okay.
And
Okay.
I can certainly share
Didn't
that.
know where that was going to be put in, Paul. I just wanted to make sure it was. We took care of it at
I
appropriate
can
time.
have her probably respond
After the awards?
after
Yeah,
the awards, because
that's
once we
right.
go, Mr. Blake, that's
Yeah,
it.
gotcha on that. Yep, good. Okay,
All
thanks,
right.
Paul.
So with that, I'd like to introduce Mr. Adam Lasky with the Transdev team. He is a director within the OCC to present the Michael Wilson Recognition Award for this month. Adam?
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Adam Lasky. I am a 41-year-old male in a orangish reddish polo shirt and skin where my hair used to be on my head. I'm here with Dominique Harris today, and it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Dispatcher Dominique Harris. Dominique joined the Metro Access team as a dispatcher in October of 2017. And Dominique, I think everyone in the OCC would agree, is in a word, great. She is really doing things to improve every facet of our operation on a daily basis. She has a professionalism that serves as example to others across the board. Routinely takes on problems others don't ask her to. She'll go out of her way to respond to issues that aren't necessarily in her orbit or assigned to her. She is, from a technical perspective, probably the most effective trip mover and rescheduler we have on our team. So if you're a customer and your trip somehow ends up in Dominique's hands, it usually results in a better experience for you. She balances driver and customer needs with aplomb throughout the day. More than that, she really brings a positive attitude that makes our operation a better place to work for everyone involved. And I think it's kind of hard to quantify this, in a way that captures it unless you're someone that works around her on a daily basis. But Dominique, and I'll look at her as I say this, Dominique cares. And she really cares. She cares about our customers. She cares about Metro Access. She cares about the job she does. Everyone she works with, for every customer, ends up appreciating the care she shows. My biggest complaint about her is that she won't let me clone her and fill the rest of our operation with others just like her. But Dominique's everyday presence, everyday reliability is exactly what this operation deserves when it's at its best. And she continues on a daily basis to exemplify that. So without further ado, Dominique, it is our pleasure to announce you as the Michael Wilson Award winner.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dominique, do you want to say anything briefly or?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to recognize my hard work, dedication, and let me be a part of the
It is our pleasure. It is our pleasure.
Thank you, Dominique.
Thank
Yes,
you.
and thanks to everyone involved.
And hopefully you could make her a trainer of our call agents to exemplify what we should be hearing as customers on the phone.
We
I'm
don't
just
want to take her.
saying,
That's a
you
great
have some
idea, but we
outstanding
don't want to take
people.
her away. If I could just, yes, and I
I
don't, because
just,
these are not,
yeah.
Metro employees, so I always have to be real careful. Miss Williams Hall will admonish me if I go too far, but she is definitely one of my favorites in that call center. And if we had just 50 like her, 99% of our problems would be done. I mean, you wouldn't have a lot of the issues. So I hear you, Mr. Simmelford. I don't know if training or just have everybody sit around and watch her one day and just let all the phones go to her. We've got to do something to get more people in there currently or coming into there to be like her. And I just thank you. You know how much you mean to me and all the work. I mean, I'm adding so many projects to you. I'm feeling guilty because I can't burn you out. And that's the thing. When you find good people, you just want to keep going to them. But it's on Mr. Lasky, and I don't see Grover and William on here. I hope they are, but
Yeah.
oh, there you go. Okay, yes, sir. It's up to them to replicate the work of Ms. Dominique within the group that they already have and with the folks who they're going to bring in. That's what we need more of. So I just really appreciate you.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. I appreciate you too.
All right, thank you so much. And then Metro Access AAC Metro Access Safety, if there is one, Miss Anderson.
There is. At this time, I'd like to introduce Miss Stacy Jackson. She is the general manager with We Drive You at the Central Avenue location, with this afternoon's award recipient. Miss Jackson.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am an African American, middle-aged woman, and I am wearing a red shirt. I have cornrows in my hair, and I also have on my yellow safety jacket, my sa yellow safety vest. And I am here with Mr. Vernon Reed, who is our recipient for today, for our Safety Recognition Award. Mr. Reed is truly honored to receive this safety award today. It does mean a great deal to him. He began his journey with Metro Access actually at Challenger for a brief period in July of 24. So he's just hitting a year mark here at We Drive You. He got a foundation there, and then he's just bought it over to We Drive You and just continues to strive. What motivates Mr. Reed each day is the opportunity to help others. Serving the ADA community isn't just a job to him, it's a way that he feels like that he's able to give back. He recognizes that many customers may not have family or friends to rely on, and knowing that he can be that someone to count on, it just makes him feel very fulfilled. Throughout his time with Metro Access, Mr. Reed has remained committed to the highest standard of professionalism, but not just professionalism, safety as well. He has maintained a clean safety record, and is almost never seen on drive cam. He has no customer complaints and remains accident free. His consistency stems from staying focused, being proactive, and treating every customer interaction as an opportunity to do the right thing. Outside of work, Mr. Reed enjoys working out and programming. These activities help him to keep grounded, sharp, and balanced, and he brings that same energy focus to the job every single day. One special moment that stands out in his service was when two customers, both in wheelchairs, were scheduled for separate pickups. When given the option by OCC, Mr. Reed volunteered to transport them together so that they could stay together with one another. They were happy not to wait for another van, and he was grateful for the opportunity to make their day a little easier. Mr. Reed's safety record, professionalism, and compassion speaks for themselves, and this award is a well-deserved recognition of his commitment to excellence. Mr. Reed, thank you so much, and we Drive, you would like to present you with this award
Thank you.
for your excellence and your commitment to safety and to our customers.
Oh, thank you very much.
And if you would like to say something.
I'll just say a couple words on how important this job is. You know, people need to get from wherever they are to wherever they need to go. And quite a few numbers of people depend on us to do so. And I'm glad I'm able to assist with that and expedite that. Because, you know, this is a very important job. And I'm proud to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you and congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do, sir.
A warm, hearty thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We pride ourselves in having wonderful drivers just like this gentleman. So again, congratulations. So with that concludes our recognition part of the program today.
All right, before I have you come back and respond to that particular customer issue about the wheelchair, just to give us some context, Anu, you want to give your announcement about the ADA?
Okay, sure. This year marks the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, a civil rights law that prohibits discrimination on any disability based on disability in all areas. And Metro has been very successful in making its Metro rail service, Metro bus service, accessible 100% of the fleet on Metro bus and stations, and our trains are accessible for customers. We are really proud to be working and enhancing this accessibility features constantly, not to mention the Metro Access service, which is door-to-door service, and it's ever enhancing service, right? So just wanted to take a few seconds to say thank you to the entire committee for helping us enhancing the accessibility and guiding us through any road bumps that might occur. So just a big thank you and acknowledge the 35th anniversary of the ADA.
All right.
Sarah
Thank you.
Ron has raised her hand, Chair.
Go ahead, Sarah. Did you have anything to say about the ADA celebration?
I did. Thanks, Anu, for bringing that up. I know it's come up a couple of times that this is also Disability Pride Month in honor of when the ADA was signed. And I can't take credit for this idea, but I just wanted to pass it on since it seems appropriate at the moment. And I know that, so Metro obviously is one of the leading transportation organizations around the country that promotes disability awareness and accessibility and all those sorts of things. I've noticed and other times of the year that Metro does some advertising of different unique things like the cherry blossoms or pride or things like that. Is there any chance that maybe next year or in future years you would consider doing the disability pride flag on some of the Metro buses or stations or things like that to highlight the ADA and also Metro's sort of leading role around the country in promoting all of these things? Just a thought.
Well, I don't know. I don't want that to go unanswered. I mean, it was got quiet. Was and forgive me for ignorance, if you will, because I've seen what I call maybe unofficial disability pride flag. Is there an official disability pride flag that I may not be aware of?
Yes, there is.
There is one.
Yes. It looks a lot like the pride flag in the sense it is sort of a rainbow, but it has more of a black background. And I can send you an example.
I think I'm seeing, well, yeah, and that's what I mean. I want, yeah, send me the one that you say is the official one, because I've seen the kind of red, black, green, yellow, but it's got different designs. So if you share that with me, then we can begin to undertake the process of approval that would be required.
Okay, that would be great.
Thank you so much, Miss Anderson. Before I let you go, before Mr. Blake, maybe you can. I'm gonna let you address that email that came to you from a customer about her son in transportation in his wheelchair and the brake issue.
Yeah, so well.
Oh, go ahead, Mr. Blake.
Yes. So let's start from the beginning. We've been dealing with this situation with this particular family, but also in general. So we do not deny service. That's number one. Other paratransit properties can deny. There's denial rates elsewhere. It's 0% here. We do not deny anybody a trip. And that didn't start with me. We got to give credit also to Mr. Kent, who was here before me. We just believe that no trip should ever be denied, but there are safety factors. And in now one case with this particular customer, I was disappointed to see that the driver did not follow the strict protocol of getting a second opinion. Now, second opinion could take a long time until the road supervisor arrives and what have you. But when it comes to wheelchairs and their brakes, there is a safety concern and there's a liability concern for WMATA. So we're asking our customers to ensure that the brakes of their mobility devices are in fact in working condition. If an operator identifies a situation where he or she does not feel the brake is in working condition and they feel that it's a safety issue, the protocol is to then call the call center, call their base, and a road supervisor will come out with a second opinion. It isn't that you deny the trip and then go on to your next trip. So that hasn't happened in every case, but I know in one case involving this customer that occurred. However, we have it in the if I can't remember the exact page, but Ms. Anderson, if you can correct me, that we have mentioned the working condition of mobility devices in the customer guide.
It is there.
So
I can confirm that.
my goal is to transport everybody, but it's our job to transport you safely. If on the other hand, though, there's a situation out of our control, i.e., the wheelchair of the customer that makes safe transport a potential challenge, we have a process. Now, the other piece to this, and I believe when I read comments from the customer's mother, is the consistency. And on that, we have to just do a better job, because if Chris Blake shows up, looks at the brake and say, well, I'll just take it. But then I'm just picking on it. Terry and Williams Hall comes next and says, this is not safe. I should flip it the other way. I don't know. Either way. But the point is, the inconsistency, and she referenced that a lot of drivers just take them. Some drivers, and in this case, this last recent case, the operator didn't. We need to have a little more consistency among our drivers, and that comes down to training and reinforcement of the safety culture that we have, so that if a person's wheelchair is denied, it's denied consistently. If it's approved, it's approved consistently. But This was a safety matter, and we're just trying to be as safe as possible. We give some discretion to the operators, but it is not totally in the hand of any one operator.
All right. Does this answer your question, Patrick? Go ahead. Oh, Patrick has a question for you.
I'm sorry, Paul. Did you recognize me?
Yes, I did.
Oh, well, thank you. This is Pat Sheehan, white male, 72 years old, t-shirt on, jeans. So a couple of things. Going through the protocol, then somebody else, a road supervisor should have been called.
Correct.
Okay. And it wasn't. So she was, and this happened with her one other time, I understand,
Right.
with the same individual.
That's what she said. Yeah, she's
Right.
saying this is the only operator who denies the trip. So we've identified that operator, and the basis is to have a conversation with that operator. Let's identify their concerns, number one, but more importantly, or just as important, but more important, reiterate and reemphasize the protocol and point out when you
Exactly
don't
right.
follow the
Good.
protocol, there are going to be consequences.
And so also I think the mom stated something with respect to ADA. Is that what she stated in the ADA, correct? And I don't know if you guys have that document up or
Now, I don't remember
okay.
her quote of the ADA. I think it may have been along the lines, you can't discriminate or deny people. Well,
Right.
number one, like I
Okay.
said, the paratransit services all across this country, not WMATA, not Metro Access, but you go and check their records or their metrics, and you'll see what their denial rate is. So that does happen. We don't
Right.
do that. Now, again, though, in this case, this would not be a situation where the agency, the service itself, is denying the passenger. If she has, as she has, say it's only this one operator, then that's a matter of us to deal with that operator, get an understanding. Because when once we listen to the operator, who knows, we may agree with him and instruct all operators to take that safety message, take that safety
Exactly. That
approach.
was my next point. Yes.
Right. And so we want to be respectful, but first and foremost, the operator needs to be, I don't use the word reprimand, needs to be
You have to have
schooled.
consistency
Yeah.
in between the
Right.
ones that did take him, or let's say if they did take him on these trips before
Right.
and the brake was faulty, then you've got a problem there. But if the
Correct.
brake was If everyone else said, "Hey, everything is good," you've got to have consistency that this person needs to follow those same rules.
Correct.
And I get safety, and of course, won't make the decision from here. I think that's important. The other thing that I noted was she said she made a bunch of calls but didn't hear anything back. Was there another number that she should have been calling, or did we check that piece out? I think she said she made four calls, and no one returned her call.
Okay, I have to
I
follow
don't.
up on that
Yeah,
piece.
yeah. I'm.
As you can imagine, I get a lot of
Mr.
calls from different customers. I'll follow up to see who she called. I did eventually get I saw the message, but the message I saw was a email, not a phone call. So I will be
Oh,
checking
okay.
that part
Yeah,
as well.
I'm sure you will. Yeah, I don't have any doubt about that. All
Actually,
right.
Mr. Blake, I can address that.
Okay.
There were actually several calls made back to this customer when we got this information via complaint. We called at least about four or five times trying to
Okay.
reach her and were unsuccessful. We finally did keep trying to reach out, and we finally did get her on July 11th. And we actually, one of our QA folks did speak with her about the investigation findings, as Mr. Blake shared.
Good. Good. Okay.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, Allison, that wasn't in the communication. The fact
Yeah.
that you I know, and I
So
understand how that
that's
goes.
why we need clarification for this.
Several times because
I
yeah,
could say I was personally
understand.
involved with that.
Because I
Yeah,
know you're very thorough about this, Ms. Anderson.
exactly.
Yes, sir.
That was kind of my thinking also.
Yes,
Okay,
sir.
so it sounds like it's checked, investigated, communicated, and the proper training will be reinforced as needed in whichever direction this is going to be taken care of. Yeah. Good. That suits me. Thanks.
All right. So now we go on to
Thank you.
Mr. Blake for call center updates as we go into the wonderful summer. We're already in summer and we're eager to hear what new initiatives, what improvements, what do we got to work on, that type of stuff between reservations
Well, I'll
and
start, and I think Ms. Williams Hall may have some things to say, and Mr. Parham may have some things to say. I'm just excited that we're almost there, and when Uber comes on, maybe they'll say a few things as well. We're almost there, maybe in a day or two, maybe a week, that we're going to be having the digital assistant available for booking or rebooking or moving trips to Uber. And the human agents will have their role in that process diminished significantly over time. Eventually, we're going to get to a point where, because one of the things we're facing and challenging, and believe me, we created some of this in Baltimore as well. So I'm going to just say this, you know, as a, I love, for the sake of lack of better word, spoiling customers who are eligible for paratransit service. That's what we've been doing for about 20 years. Over in Baltimore, we spoiled you with these nice taxi services. Then, you know, with modern technology, Uber and other services became available to you. And we want to keep that going. But when you give a little, sometimes things happen. And one of the challenges with our phone lines, and really, just like I used to always advise my political clients, you never blame the voter. You don't blame the customer. They're just seeking what you've made available to them. But one of the challenges, the OCC, and this is not an excuse for them, is that so many of our phone lines are tied up with customers who want their trips on Uber. And that's a great thing, but there are rules that come with these type of programs. And we have to live within those rules. Yesterday, while trying to enjoy a little party, I had a long back and forth conversation with a customer who called 2 hours before her pickup window wanting the trip moved to Uber and talked to like three different dispatchers, a supervisor, couldn't get the manager, so called me. I didn't move the trip. Customer's very upset. We'll deal with that. But the key message is not only are we going to be more rapid in response to situations that you've reported on, and rightfully so, Mr. Semelford and others, through the digital tool. But I need folks to understand, once the digital tool really has matured and is in its place, you can be on the phone for 45 minutes or 5 hours. If your trip was not put on Uber that day, if you just happened to be the one day you don't win the lottery, and your trip is not late or projected to be late, no human being will be able to move that trip. And eventually, yeah, except me. No, let me stop. I'm not going to move. No, because I can't mess up the integrity of the process. But we need to be clear that, hey, I want everybody on any vehicle that they really want to be on, but there are rules and processes we all must follow. And by taking and putting that into a digital tool with no emotions, no personal feelings, and taking it out of the hands of the human agents so that there is no back and forth, debating, and other situations, we think at the end of the day, it's going to make a better situation for everybody involved. So on that, I'll shorten it because I heard you say, Mr. Simmer, once you start with me, everything goes. I took that kind of, that hurt me a little bit.
So
No, I'm
my
just teasing.
question is, I guess you're going to tell us how we understand the conditions of it's going to the digital tool, just to recap, on trips that are already pre-selected for Uber for them to kind of push up for the digital system, push out the link, or trips that are projected to be late under those two conditions. So someone like me, if I see a trip the night before and on my transit app and it's on Uber and it doesn't get pushed out that evening, I should be able to go into Tim and get it to push the trip out that day for me?
Well, you would call Where's My Ride or text Where's My Ride, and Tim will book the trip. The agent will instruct Tim. It was, here's the difference. Let's use one scenario, as you just did. Your scenario is you see your trip is on Uber, but you didn't get a link. You
Yes.
can call the agent and ask the agent to have Tim send you a new link. That'd be great. Or you can wait till your window opens or whenever you're ready to be picked up with Uber and ask the agent to ask Tim to go ahead and schedule the trip or dispatch the vehicle.
Oh, so it's not like me going into the digital assistant. It sees
No.
that I have a trip for Uber, and I tell it, select the trip and say, go ahead and book the Uber.
Not yet. No, yeah. Right now, there's not going to be customer direct interaction with the digital tool. The interaction is going to be between the dispatcher and the tool.
Oh,
Yes. But that's.
the key thing is there going to be a confirmation of the correct cell phone number, or
Correct.
that should be still the digital assistant should see that as part of the reservations process?
Correct. And the dispatcher, Terry, you want to add, the dispatcher is going to ask you a few questions, just a couple of quick questions to make sure we know who you are. And then once that information is confirmed, Terry, you want to take it from
Sure,
there?
I can take over. Good
Okay.
afternoon, everybody. My name is Terrian Williams Hall. An African American, still middle age,
I'm sorry, that's
brown complexion, medium length hair, and I'm wearing glasses and a red Metro shirt today. With regard to the digital assistant, what will happen is you will call in on a Where's My Ride call, ask, hey, where's my vehicle? And the agent is going to put your trip information in to a chat bot that they're interacting with, this chat bot that's integrated with Uber. And so they'll put the customer's information in and it'll tell them where the vehicle is, reflecting real-time traffic information, exactly where the vehicle is and how long it's going to take for the vehicle to get there. If the trip is projected late or is already late, and you are eligible for Uber, then they'll offer you Uber. If you say, yes, I'd like to do it, and then they're going to ask you for a cell phone number, put that in the chat bot. The chat bot will then send that information over to Uber. You'll be sent a link, and the agent is going to tell you to click on that link when you're ready to take your trip.
All right. So it still won't be the option of, so it no longer will be the option of you'll just only get a link versus them starting the trip, because remember we had those two options if one didn't work, if that made sense.
Right. Now, I think, and that's something that's still going to be, that's why we're saying we're going to, just in case there's an issue on there, we're going to disable the human agents over time, not right away. But yes, eventually it will be one of two things: book an upcoming trip or dispatch a trip right now. Yes.
Because it seems like from my experience, when I'm ready, the dispatch, the trip obviously works.
Right.
What people tend to have the issue with right now currently is sending me the link. Like last night when I explained to you, oh, I saw my trips, so I didn't get my link. I called the agent this morning, still didn't get my link. And so it should be able to get that. And I said, well, I guess I have to call back to request a ride right now where it will start.
Agree. Yeah, so that will be part of it. If your trip is 2 hours away and you want it to be on Uber, the digital assistant will be able to do that. If you're having problems because you didn't get the link or link isn't working, the dispatch function will still be there as well.
Okay.
And then the other scenario again would just be like the one yesterday I was just describing, and this is where the emotions come out. You call the dispatch, and you would never do this, Mr. Semaphore, but you call the dispatch at 12 o'clock p.m. for a trip at 2:30, and the trip is still on time, and you and the dispatcher begin debating, I want Uber, I only want Uber. Those days go away because all the dispatcher can say is, I don't have the power to move it. Only the digital assistant can do that. And so there's
Yeah, the
no need to
rules.
keep, challenging me as the dispatcher on that request.
You're either pre-scheduled for it the night before, or y'all functionally move it for whatever reason, be it late or projected to be late or to meet certain demands that day.
Correct.
Can
And can I
I
add
ask a question, Paul?
one more
Yes.
thing? Can I say, Mr. Chairman, before you go with that, with your
No.
question? Just one more thing I wanted to add in
Oh, yeah.
addition to the Uber chat piece, because that's also going to work with Where's My Ride. And another thing you're going to see some point in this year, and Terrian is working hard on this as well, is an updated IVR. I know that the initial rollout of TIM was met with some resistance by some customers. So we're not going to just do it that way, but we're going to use our IVR and our customers. We love you and we want to keep serving you and doing well. But one way we're going to clear these phone lines so that those who really, really need to speak to an agent or a manager or supervisor, we're going to use the IVR a lot more. They're going to recognize your phone number, give you information, and hopefully, if all you were calling for is the status of your trip, which is most of the calls when it comes to dispatch or where's my ride, that may help you decide to hang up. Now, some customers just love talking to our dispatchers, and that's well and good, and I understand that. But we're going to have to cut some of these conversations that are just general discussions that are holding up the phone lines. So again, nothing major right away, but you're going to notice more and more, maybe fewer, and Terry, you can add into this, maybe fewer public service announcements up front and more immediate information about your trip status to see if that's what you were calling about. And if you get the information you need, perhaps you'll hang up and clear the line for the next person without holding up the line for a supervisor or dispatcher. Did I say that politically correctly?
Yes, you
And
did.
you, I'm sorry, I thought he was asking me, but you did. The only thing I want to clarify is that the ability to recognize the customer by their contact number, that's a little bit further away than the other services. So that requires that new project with the brand new IVR. And so that's probably about a year away. But that's going to be top of the line. Almost everything you can think of that you can do with an IVR, that's forthcoming.
Okay. So here's before you, Patrick, here's my question, Miss Williams Hall or Mr. Blake. Will the IVR for someone, few customers like me who have trips generally after midnight, some days of the week, will it still be able to do that trip that is after midnight and send me the link, or I still have to go to a supervisor who has the who's has access to do that to get that link?
We're talking now about Uber.
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Blake, you probably know that better because I'm not sure
But because right
about
now I
the
have to ask the
after
supervisor.
midnight part.
I
That's
have to ask
still going to
before midnight.
require some intervention.
Excuse me, this is the
And when
interpreter.
we.
I'm getting a lot of overlap and I'm
Oh, I'm
missing
sorry.
a lot of information. I'm sorry. Thank you.
I'm
Okay.
sorry. So the question was for trips that are assigned to Uber, but the pickup time is after 12 midnight. Generally speaking, those trips in the Uber system are canceled because your link expires at 11:59 the night before. So a couple of things are going to have to take place, one or the other. Metro and Uber are going to have to get together to figure out that Uber is a 24-hour service from 0000 to 11:59, where Metro Access is 24 hours, and our day goes into the next day up to like 2 a.m. We're gonna have to figure that out with Uber. Maybe we can get Uber to make an adjustment on the expiration of the links, but then that opens up other situations.
Yes. I see why now. Okay, got
Yes. So to answer
it.
your question right now, yes, you can still call me and I'll be up at 2 in the morning to move your trip for you.
No, I just
No,
it depends.
but no.
I tell the agent that I have to speak to a supervisor because I know when you send me the link, it's going to shoot back at 11:59, and I need a
Correct.
supervisor. You see, it's after midnight. Move it to the next day.
But also, with the tool that Ms. Williams Hall is working directly with the team to develop. Hey, these digital agents are can be trained. They're not smart enough themselves. They can be trained to recognize that that's a 2 a.m. trip and go ahead and rebook it. So you would still probably have to call in or text in, but the tool will still be able to handle it once it's trained to do so.
Okay. Patrick, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Apache and Anu, interactive voice response. Thank you for that message and
Hello.
chat. That's
Audio
good.
now unmuted.
So just walking me through it, Mr. Blake, I put a request in. It gets converted over from Metro Access to the vehicles, let's say to Uber. Will I automatically then get my text messages, let's say sometime the night before? Is that step one as we have it now? Or will I need to contact where's my ride before they send that out as we're talking about now?
I'm sorry, I was
Does
on
that make
mute.
sense?
No,
So
great question. Great question.
right now, if I get transferred from the Metro Access vehicle to Uber, automatically the links are coming out and I can take that ride whenever I'm ready to go.
Correct.
Is that going to be, still be option number one?
That's going to be the bread and butter of
Good.
our
Okay, great.
partnership with
It
Uber,
good.
yes.
Okay. Answers my second question, because if you had me to call where's my ride to initiate the links, you're gonna have a huge backlog and
Yeah,
none of
that
us
would
want
defeat the
that.
purpose. Yeah,
No,
that would defeat
agree
the
with. Okay,
purpose.
good. Then the other part, I'm sure you have this figured out. Once we're going to Tim doing the the Tim portion of this, how are we going to train people on the change going forward, when it'll be, and all that sort of thing? Is
Well,
there a
tonight is
training?
the
Yeah.
yes.
You're training of
Yes,
the
tonight is
customer.
the first, right, that's it. This is the first step in that I wanted to be as politically correct as possible to say that we're going to a more digital world. We're utilizing digital tools to partner with the employees of the call center, not to replace them. But customers in this very first step, and there'll be other steps that we take in a very educational, friendly, customer-friendly way of showing that for the large extent, if we're just talking about the Uber piece, for example, most of your experience is not going to change.
Right,
The
exactly. Good.
biggest change is that there should be no more be debates between customers, dispatchers, or customers wanting to speak to supervisors or managers. Because none of them will be able to move the trip if it's
Understood.
outside the rules. But the biggest education, I'm glad Terry told me, it's about a year away because that gives us a little more time now to be even more gentle about it. We really have to, WMATA, and it's a great thing in some parts, it's not, but WMATA has kind of been very slow in. And I hate to use the word mandate because that's not so customer friendly, but in getting customers and kind of mandating them to utilize the tools that we've made available to them. And what ends up happening is we keep doing things the old-fashioned way, keep getting the same results, and people wonder, their frustration and anger and the whole times. So we're going to have to, as a management team, as a compassionate team, be a little more encouraging to customers utilizing tools to alleviate these frustrations and help your experience with the call center improve.
So if we had hired more grumpy, where's my ride people, they wouldn't be engaged so much on the phone. And that's why you're sitting there and I'm sitting here. So I understand.
Or what about if the customer is able to use my transit app, that would be, if they're able to use and have the ability, that would be of a grave help for
And
those
we're going to
transit.
be strongly encouraging that as part of our messaging. Did you know that you could have seen this information on the My Transit app? Do you have a phone that can utilize smartphone applications? Most customers are going to say yes. There's going to be a number who say no, and that's who we want those phone lines to be open for. If you're just checking the status of your ride, My Transit app is going to be there. You can still call Where's My Ride and let the digital assistant tell you the status of your trip. And we're just going to have to, again, nudge customers along on this pathway so that the phone lines are there when you really just have a problem, or for those customers who do not have access to smartphones or other means of the resources we're making available.
All right, so I see other hands. Vanessa, followed by Philippa, followed by Debbie. And help me with new if any other hands I do not.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Okay, thank you. Hi, I'm a middle-aged African American with my hair's layered and I have on a t-shirt. My question, Mr. Blake, and I don't know if we were on kind of on Uber subjects, but has anything been done? I brought this up last month about when the Uber driver arrives and I answer the phone, there is a message on there that says before I can even connect with them that it's a security for security reasons, these calls being recorded, and it takes up a lot of time because I'm hoping that the driver's not going to hang up because I'm waiting for this message to finish saying what it's going to say before the driver connects with me.
Right. So now in that case, this is one of those things where a corporation is protecting itself. I don't know if we're going to be able to stop them from protecting themselves from any potential liability, depending on what is said on the call, what happens afterwards, and that call becomes evidence. So, I don't think we're going to change that, and be honest with you.
He's just letting me know he's outside. Is that a standard Uber thing or is it just for
Yes,
directions?
that's Uber. Yeah, that's you.
That's
Once you
Uber?
once you're
Okay.
connecting with the driver, that's Uber. And Uber, like a lot of corporations with their prefix messages, or as we used to call it, the little points, the little, what we used to call those things when they had all this word, but a really little tiny letters at the bottom of like a pack of cigarettes.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, the
Disclaimer.
disclaimers. So that's not going to change probably because they have legal liability that they're protecting themselves from.
Mr. Blake, I just want to
Yeah.
jump in real quick and add to
Yeah,
that.
no. Yes.
On both ends of,
But
and I'm
introduce
sorry.
yourself, please.
Yes,
Introduce
sorry
yourself.
about that. This is Kevin
Hello.
Hackshaw.
Can you please show me?
Kevin Hackshaw, African American male with glasses and dreadlocks, wearing a black t-shirt, and I'm a senior customer success manager at Uber. And let me make sure my camera is up and working. There we go. I just want to add to that that at the same time that you're hearing the message that this is being recorded, the driver's hearing the same message. So it's a situation where the driver's not going to hang up waiting for it to connect because you're both hearing that message because it's for as much for his protection as for yours. So you're going to hear the message, both of you will hear it, and then the phone will be connected. Does that make sense? Vanessa?
Audio now unmuted.
I'm sorry. Yes, because I didn't know if they were hearing it or not, because I kept saying hello, hello, hello. I didn't want them to hang up. So they are hearing it too.
Yep. And then
Okay.
it gets connected. So,
I
yeah.
got you. All right. That's good. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Sorry, Mr. Back
Into
to
your
Phil. I just
topic.
wanted
Before we
to
get
put that
to
in.
Mr. Hackshaw. All right.
Okay.
Philippa?
Yeah, I had a few questions. Mr. Blake, you said something about a chat box would appear. What is going to be, what are the implications for people with visual challenges on the chat box? Is it going to be like a normal text message or some tiny little box or tiny little print that you can't expand? Or how is this chat box going to work? When you
Let's just for clarification, Ms. Philippa, the chatbot Ms. Williams Hall is referring to is going to be interactive between the dispatcher and Tim, not the customer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I have another question. What happens For instance, if you get on under the new system where I would have to deal with Tim, I guess, eventually, when the Uber ride goes to the alley, as they are prone to do, Mr. Uberman, they go into the alley where the trash cans are because you all seem to be using a sanitation system, and then they cancel your ride. Will you automatically get a new link, or will you have to call, "Where's my ride?" and ask for a new link, and or what?
So the way it works now, if the driver cancels your trip, depending on the circumstance, either the customer receives a new link or one of the what we call the Uber Central coordinators receive it and rebooks your trip. So that process is not going to change with this, but it should be, let's say you don't get the trip, you don't see a link right away and you're not seeing a vehicle. If you call, "Where's my ride?" and say they sent them down the alley again and this one canceled on me, I need another vehicle sent to me. That process would be much quicker because now any dispatcher who receives that call can now say to Tim, "What's happening?" and Tim can quickly rebook your trip.
Okay, now you're saying we're less likely at some point in the future to be able to win the lottery and get an Uber.
No.
Oh.
No, we're going to keep the lottery easy, but it will, but what's happening, and again, I never blame the customer because, hey,
We're
I don't
never
have a
wrong.
disability. If you're giving something away, I want it too, if it's something I like. So, but the key is that part of the gentleness we're going to be, this compassionate caring that we're going to be showing this year, yes. We're not changing the odds of winning the lottery, but if you happen not to win, if you have six trips today and five of them on an Uber and that one is on a Metro Access vehicle, we want to remove the incentive to call in to try to convince the
Oh,
dispatcher to put that
gotcha.
last trip on Uber.
Okay, that's what it's
I know
about.
Kevin doesn't want to hear that, but
Okay.
it's just a part of the process, and we've got to just have integrity throughout the entire process and fairness for everybody.
Okay, and is Mr. Uberman, whose name I'm sorry I didn't catch, is he going to address this alley thing?
I hope so. That's why
Okay,
I'm
thank
here.
you. Let me get to that. So
thank you.
as we're going through, and I see the hands going up, Mr. Blake, the other thing Sarah brought up, hopefully your address is with the web booking, that right now it's only with a live reservationist, and y'all were looking into it with IT, so it equals to we can request Uber. When is that going to happen with online booking so that we can get the same thing, same
And I
option?
saw an email on that. Either Ms. Williams Hall or Ms. Anderson, can either one of you provide an update? If not, it's okay. But I thought I saw an email on
What was the last part of the question? I'm sorry.
that. This is the drop down menu for a customer to request Uber, or whether wants Uber for those who are booking through web booking and not a reservationist.
Yes, sir. You'll remember that we did talk about that, and that required a sacrifice of some information, and you decided that we're not moving in that direction right now.
Oh, in terms
Oh,
of
okay.
changing the front page, yeah.
So I
So
put that on my work plan right now
because
as
right
a whole.
now, that's right. That right now, the solution that was presented to us would then require UI changes for everybody, whether they're interested in Uber or not. And I thought that was a little too
Yeah.
draconian. So right now, anybody who's using web booking, in your pickup comments and or your drop-off comments, whichever one you prefer or both, say Uber only. Now again, just like the drop-down menu would not guarantee you every trip would be on Uber, but you put that in there, Uber only. Because of all the great work the rest of the team is doing, I've been able to spend a lot more time trying to upgrade the algorithm so that the lottery can be even more sensitive in terms of picking customers' trips for these Ubers who want it. So if you put Uber in the pickup or drop-off comments, it's as equivalent as putting it in the wants Uber column.
Okay, so you found a workaround. That's
For
because that was
now,
the
but we're
Sarah's
still
question.
going to look at it because I know how important equivalency is to the community. So we want to make sure that is not in anyone's mind that they're missing out on anything, and therefore now got to leave web booking to call in because we don't want that. But I can assure you that the algorithm is looking at the pickup and drop off comments for once Uber or Uber only as much as it's looking at that drop down menu.
All right. So next we have Debbie, and then Anu has her hand up.
Thank you. My question, it goes back to the training, and my concern is that with the folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities, the change process over the course of time is really, really confusing. So all I would ask is that in your training materials, that there is a process set up for current users that creates some lead time for families, support givers, agencies, everybody who helps those folks access services, because the confusion related to change can become pretty significant. At the same time, I would encourage you to work with the high school age student population, because my guess is that that group is going to be more adept simply because they're using more technology as part of their educational experiences. And as you can remember, I'm sure, in the case of the older folks, their family members are often helping them get their access their transportation, and it's not always clear that those parents and older family members are able to use the technology. So just I just raise it because I think change over a period of time is tough on this group. And you'll hear from them, or Mr. Blake will, for sure.
No, and Ms. Fisher, we totally agree and understand, and I think that's part of the reason we have been super deliberate in trying to push new tools and ways of doing things towards the entire population. But one approach we definitely want to do is, again, like you said, we want a gentle, over the course of time, education and encouragement, gentle encouragement and nudging. But we're really, the truth be told, let's say, and I'm just, using an example, Ms. Fish, 90% of the clients of a particular location in Montgomery County still does it the way they're doing it today. Let's just take that and just say that. The
Right.
truth be told, this educational, this gentle nudging is targeting such a unique group of our highly energetic, love talking to dispatcher customers, just a small reduction in their calls that aren't really changing the needle, if you
Okay.
will make it better for everybody. And so
Sure.
what we're trying to do is get a couple of customers who would otherwise wait on the phone for 5 or 10 minutes to talk to a supervisor about moving their trip to Uber, or be on the phone for 2 or 3 minutes to get a where's my ride update, to just use a digital tool for just some of those calls to help free up the line and make everybody's experience a little better.
Well, that makes sense. And I would only suggest that certainly among many of the folks on the autism spectrum, and again, I think probably those who are in high school are populations that if you were to focus some of the training with them, it's a population that probably can also learn how to do it. It's the group who are relying on parents. Who will be certainly have a harder time with the adjustments. And providers probably can be trained so that their staff use it because there are very few providers left in the area who are not training their staff to use technology for everything else going on. So I
Right.
think you could probably reduce some more people with a little bit of focus
Okay.
training.
Well, we'll certainly rely on you and in helping guide some of our efforts at doing just that.
Sure. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Anu, you had
Chair.
your hand up.
Yes, Chair Samuelford. I raised my hand because Rico Dancy had put in a chat message stating he would like to make a comment. So after we can take Rico's comments now, and then we can go to Sarah Rod.
Okay.
I have a question for Uber, okay? So when I'm leaving from my job and I ask where am I ride, they say Metro Access come and get you. Then they wait a minute, they wait for you before your trip ends. Then they'll call you, say, do you want to switch to Uber? Why do they wait to the last minute?
Okay, that's not a question for Uber. That's a question for Metro Access. So
I'm just curious. Why do they wait to the
that's a great
last?
question, and I do
Why do
get
they
hit on.
wait to the last minute and say, the van? Why do they wait to the last minute, Mr. Blake? The last minute. Can we the last minute? I'm just.
Here's the official answer. Here's the official, and obviously I would have to look at every trip. The official answer is if your window was from 3 to 3:30 and they waited until 3:29, it's because it wasn't until 3:29 that your trip was projected to be late. Now, that's the official answer. That's what you do when you're in Congress. That's what you say when you're in Congress. But the truth of the matter is we have to pay better attention. We had Dominique on earlier. She's watching trips that are assigned to her. She is great at anticipating and watching these trips. And you may get that call before your window even opens when you have good team, good staff members paying attention to their duty and doing what they're supposed to do. It shouldn't take that all the time, especially if that's what you're experiencing. And we're working, with Grover and his team to suggest to them ways that we can proactively address these situations. But technically speaking, and I'm not saying that was the case, but technically speaking, if the computer doesn't show your trip is being projected to be late, the operator can't move it. So if they didn't see it until 3:29, maybe they should have been looking better. But if it wasn't until 3:29 that it says Rico Dancy's trip is now going to be late. Well, no kidding. We're a minute away and the vehicle's still 10 miles away. All right, that's an exaggeration. But the point is, yeah, they should have moved it sooner. And I think with clearer phone lines, more efficient resources such as the digital assistant doing other tasks, the ability for the dispatchers to identify late or late projected trips should improve, and you won't have that experience as much in the future.
And with our other party service providers, as we're going through this process, like taxi and the other providers, I would still have to wait the 30 minutes and call them in to say, hey, they haven't shown up. Let's move this to Uber, you know, that type of thing,
Right.
right?
Now
Because they
here's
can't
something with
predict
that.
that.
Technically, you're right. So one of the things you can do if you're in the window, now don't call before the window, and
Oh no,
that's why
I
we
wait until
want
that 30 minutes is over, so there's
fair
no order.
enough.
You know me.
But if you want to send a text message, and I know we've had some challenges with that, but again, the more we bring these additional tools helping out everyone, the more responsive Mr. Parham and his team should be. If you want to
So
send
is
it.
that still back? Because I presume that has been
No, it's
ceased.
still there. We've just
I've
gotta.
not been texting because I'm assuming that y'all encouraged us just to call.
Well, we'll take the calls when they're not being as responsive. A text message is actually more ideal. But I would just say this though, if you call or text within your window and ask and say, "This is Paul Semerford. My trip today is scheduled on taxi cab." Hey, I don't want to call anybody out. Is that trip projected to be on time? They may say, we will check on that and get back to you. You don't need to stay on the phone with the dispatcher for that. They need to then do their part to research the trip. If it's not, they will send you an Uber. They'll be
Because what
happy
I've
to
done
fly
is
you.
just wait the 30 minutes, and
Or
as it
just
gets to
wait.
be
Yeah.
29 minutes and the follow-up is like, it's past the 30, time to move. And they're like,
Right, and
okay.
then they'll do it right then. You're correct about that as well.
All right, Sarah. And then is iPhone a committee member? Because we have to move on.
Chair Samuel, this is Anu. I'm not sure if the person on iPhone is a committee member or a member of the public, perhaps.
I'm a member of the public.
Oh, okay. So it'll
Okay.
be public comment period that we will address your concern.
Okay, I thought it was. I'm sorry.
We'll announce that very shortly. Sarah, you go next, and then we need to end this conversation and have Mr. Hackshaw on to address some of our concerns as we come into this close of this meeting.
Okay.
Sarah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. And I don't think I gave a description earlier. So I am a middle-aged Caucasian female wearing a blue t-shirt today. Hopefully, this is a quick question for Mr. Blake. And just getting back at a couple of things that have just come up in previous comments, and that's about how are notifications going to go out to users that things have changed? Are there any sort of push notifications that are going to go out? Because, as Paul just said, I have tried to use the text to get where's my ride, not lately, but over the last few months. And the last couple of times I've tried, I've gotten nothing. So I assumed it was dead. If
Yeah, I
there's a
was
new net,
assuming when you say
if there's a new
call
number,
me
I
on
don't know
phone.
what it is.
Right.
So is the same text number that you pushed out, is that still being used? Because I've maybe texted maybe over the past month one or two times. I don't hear back from
Yes.
nobody.
Yeah, it's not dead. It has to be enforced vigorously by Mr. Parham and his team. It is a great tool. It helps a lot of folks. It's accessible. And even between customers and dispatchers, it should be able to help keep emotions down in terms of conversation. In terms of, but we have to hold Mr. Parham and his team accountable for making sure that someone is paying attention to the incoming text messages. But in terms of just overall notification to team, I mean, excuse me, to customers in general, yes, we're going to use the IVR messaging. We're going to use text messages. And for those of you who have been using Uber for a while, you haven't gotten one from me lately, but you've seen some text messages I've sent in bulk, reminding you to always check the address and things like that. We're going to send out gentle text message campaigns. We'll do a few robocalls, not incessant and over the top and constant, but a few robocalls that may point to information about some tools and how to use them. So this is going to be a, again, a gentle nudge and education, but for a lot of customers, especially like the Uber piece, their experience should not change much other than being more satisfied because the process will be a lot quicker.
All right, thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
All right, now I want to, because it's 5:17, and I want to switch over to Mr. Hackshaw, even though we already began some of that. Mr. Hackshaw, I think one of the primary concerns with customers, and maybe you can address with Uber, the first one is location with the address. From what I've experienced, you've fixed one of them like work, but when I give an address of a particular business or place, Uber wants to, in some cases, like Philip will say, pick up in the back somewhere that's not accessible, or an alleyway for the customer to get to. Or as I found
Thank you.
in a few cases, some
Please let me know
addresses,
what day she I'll be transfer everything
if everyone can be
to
mute
do work.
when another person's talking,
Thank you.
please. Thank you. So,
Transfer everything.
yeah, thank you. The other pieces I found with certain addresses, it wants to drop off, at a like a main intersection, maybe about quarter of a mile or 3/4 of a mile away than what the actual business address is. And we get drivers that tell us you can actually move, the dot to where you want to get picked up on the map on from the Uber link. And the thing is, we don't have that type of access because of the relationship in nature we have. How do we go about addressing those things? One workaround I've done is I would call up and say, resend me the trip because it's I can see on the map, it's not exactly where I'm at, even though I'm on the address in front of that building, to put it to the name, which changes the geocoding to match it exactly to where I'm at. But that's one piece. The second piece is what I've noticed lately is the when some of us who get pre-selected for Uber trips or that day of it gets pushed out for one reason or another by the call center. It used to be, all the messaging is like in one cell phone number and one string. I've noticed as of lately, more consistently, like for like one trip, it's coming in three different text messages under three numbers instead of just one string. Any idea as to why that's happening? Because I can see from a customer perspective, it makes it confusing to try to search for things. If
All
that
right.
makes sense.
Thanks, Paul. How are you today, sir?
Oh, good.
Good, good,
I
good
just
to
want to
see
start with
you.
those two things before we hit customers.
Before the knives come out. All right,
And
so.
I want to, no, not the knives. We love Uber. We just want to make it a better experience for us with disabilities so we can just meet our driver, go do our business with it, and keep it moving.
You know what? Totally understand. Totally understand. So the first thing is we work off of Google Maps for the most part. And so what happens sometimes is depending on how Google will have a particular address, we follow that. So that's why sometimes you may end up in an alley. It's not perfect. It happens very few times, but if it happens to you, that's one time too many. I totally understand that. One of the things that I've discussed with Mr. Blake is, when that happens, let us know because we can talk to our team internally and ask them, can you update that address to reflect the fact that this is taking them into an alley? It's not taking them to an actual street address. It's taking them to, something that's not feasible. What you're doing is typically the best thing in terms of if you see it come up and it's not where it needs to be, call back in and get it changed. Because yes, you can change it in the app, but we are dealing with a large, diverse population that uses the service, and not everybody's going to be comfortable doing that or have the ability in some cases if they're not smartphone savvy. They're not going to be able to do that. So I would say your best bet is typically to call in and say, hey, look, this is not going to drop me off or pick me up where it needs to be, where it needs to be picked up or dropped off at. Please, can you reschedule this so it does reflect that correctly and I will get picked up in the right place? Does that make sense? Okay.
And then the second thing with the text messaging, that's like I said, it used to be in one string, one text number. Now it's showing up in two or three, even when, say, the driver's nearby, I get three different texts under three different messages. I'm just like, for a
Can
customer, that
you
could be very confusing.
do me a favor? When that happens to you, the next time it happens, send that info to Mr. Blake.
Okay.
Because what I try to do is it's like going to the mechanic and you tell the mechanic the car's making a weird sound and you go to the mechanic and the car doesn't make the sound. And so when I go to my operations team and I say, hey, we need to fix this, they need to see what actually happened. So then they have an idea of, oh, okay, this makes sense. I can work with that. But me telling them, well, this is happening, they need to see it actually happen for them to be able to really diagnose the problem accurately.
Because I'm like, this is just so many text strings of things for people to follow. I can see it's under one string, one number, but it's coming under two, three different phone numbers.
If you can grab a
and it's
screenshot of
very,
it, that would be great.
and is there a way when people receive their Uber links for the day, is there a way, I know it has to string to a website for accessibility purposes. It somehow becomes there is a reminder towards the end of the day that you still have a Uber ride, but link you haven't scheduled. Is there a way, there's any way it can be somehow linked together when people get their links the night before, where it's just easier for them to find in their text? Because somehow I've seen it just like mine personally, it just gets buried amongst older texts or things like that. And I have to string through different numbers and find them. I eventually do because I'm tech savvy, but I'm not the typical customer
Right.
is using this.
You know what? That's a good question. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have an answer off the top of my head for that.
Just something to think about in
Yeah,
today's
that's
world.
something. And you know what? I'm in touch with Christian regularly. You know, that might be something that, you know, you, me, and he get on a call and kind of work that out or have a conversation to see if we can do something about that.
And with that, we're gonna take our hands from Anu will help me from AAC members about Uber, and I see the first one is probably Philippa, followed by Patrick.
Hello, it's
<Go
Philippe.
ahead.
laughs> I'm going to
laughs> I
be
saw that
good.
hand. I'll
Yeah,
let you
I
do
popped
that.
it right up. I just wanted to say that I love Uber. I appreciate Uber, and I am extremely grateful that Metro has this relationship with Uber. However, it is more the rule and not the exception to the rule. I'd say 90% of my rides are alley bound and trash can bound. Even if I'm going to just a normal address, 17th and I Street, I don't know if you're familiar. 17th, it's on I Street between 17th and 18th. The thing tries to turn them down K Street in order to take them through an alley to get to I Street. And that's just not necessary. My home, they're always going to the alley. And I've even had people tell me they canceled because it was late and they were scared to go in that alley. So I will, you know, Mr. Blake has my address. I will give it to him again. But that is constantly what happens to me. And if I don't know where I'm going, I'm rather afraid to even get in the Uber because the driver gets frustrated and I don't know how to course correct for them. And I was also going to say, and if I use Siri, she uses Google Maps, but she'll take me to the proper address. She'll help me get the driver to the proper, you know, door to get in. So I'm not sure why Uber is, or and if I go to the suburbs, there's no problem because everyone in the suburbs puts their trash out front, so they drop me out front.
Well, first of all, thank you. I'm glad that you appreciate the service. And in relation to that, I will definitely work with Christian. And Christian, I hope I'm not throwing you under the bus here, but please send that info to Christian. And please let him know, look, this is the problem we're having. And give him concrete examples, like your address in particular that you just talked about.
Right,
Thank
correct.
you for doing that so we can look into that and then we can see, okay, yes, there is an issue with how we're routing drivers, and then we can address it.
Yeah, because I always have to start about an extra hour early because I have to leave way for two Ubers to cancel out on me, which
Yeah.
often happens.
And that's unacceptable. So yeah, definitely. And I would say that in general for anybody on the call, anyone in the committee, you know, if there's an issue, we cannot address it until it goes to Mr. Blake and Mr. Blake has an opportunity to send it to me. You know, if I don't know about it, I can't help you. And so, you know, please, when you send it to Mr. Blake, send it with as much information as possible. If you can grab a screenshot, all the better to do it. So when I send that to operations, I send that to our technical teams, they have something that they can look at and there is something concrete that they can say, oh, yes, I see what you're talking about. And especially if it's happening to a lot of people, better yet, I'm not saying that it's good that it's happening to a lot of people, but when that happens, it adds a little bit of urgency to it to say, hey, it's not a one person issue. Please, can we get this fixed as soon as possible? So hopefully, Philippa, we will get that fixed as soon as possible so you are not grabbing your Uber in an alley.
Well, so I'll just say this, Kevin, just so you know, I always gotta handle things. We're team members, but I'm gonna resend you the email I sent you on May 25th with her trip on it. So no, we've sent it, but I'll resend it to you. But yeah, this one is one
Okay.
that we
And this is
definitely.
probably one of, yeah. So we're already working on that one because you sent me, I believe, three or four recently that we are working through with our team.
We
So
have
I
another
realized that's
customer
one.
on who I know, so I don't know if she's gonna give an update. So yeah, if you haven't addressed this one, I hope you've addressed the other one because I don't want to call her out. I'll let her decide if she wants to comment. But we have another customer on who I also sent. So I just want the customers to know I'm not sitting on it and like, oh, I hear it and no, I'm forwarding these on and we're trying to get them to work and resolve this as quickly as possible for each specific case that you all bring to my attention.
All right, we're gonna do Pat and then Sandy. Then I want to get to customer comment period because obviously I want to make sure that's taken care of.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Pat Sheehan, speaking on behalf of a lot of individuals who use service animals, guide dogs, and they are very frustrated with what's happening with Uber and, let's say, the Metro Access Abilities Ride area. I would say probably, I don't know, Mr. Blake, you're better on this than I am, but maybe 60% of the people, maybe 70% are being denied by Uber as far as Metro Access is concerned. I don't know that they are concerned. I mean, I know Mr. Blake follows up on it. We're not seeing any changes in behavior as far as, you know, their ability. They shouldn't be denying individuals who have guide dogs. We get other individuals that decide it's going to be Uber Pet, which is not the correct call for a service animal. And a lot of times, even if they're taken off of the abilities ride track, let's say with WMATA, they're still riding for Uber. So they're not really penalized. Guide dogs, service animals should be picked up all the time. You know that. And I know that. And but there doesn't seem to be any discipline. They should be let go from Uber. How do we make that happen? That's going to change behavior if they lose their job. Word will get around. Otherwise, we've been dealing with this now for a dozen years, and the behavior has not changed. So we've got to do something to change that behavior.
So good afternoon, Ms. Chan.
Thank you, by the way, for being here. Just trying to hurry along.
No, not a problem. I'm glad to be here. So first of all, don't use Uber Pet for service animals. Like you said, that's not the way to do it. Our drivers get we provide a lot of education for our drivers in terms of how you deal with service animals, the do's, the don'ts, what you can and cannot do. And so again, this is one of those cases where if you believe that you were denied a ride because of your service animal or any impairment, it doesn't have to be a service animal. Again, we need to know about it because what happens, and so that you know what the process looks like when it's reported, when we get that report, we have a team of, I believe it's like 15 people that they investigate each claim thoroughly. And so the first thing they do is they disconnect that driver from being connected with any WMATA rider at that point while it's being investigated. So there's no chance of, while that investigation is taking place, of that driver getting yet another WMATA rider. Now, the other thing that happens after that is, depending on what the investigation shows, that driver could be removed from the platform. And it has happened where drivers are removed from the platform. However, it's not something we advertise because we have to respect their privacy as much as your privacy. So in a case like that, what happens is that we will come back to the customer. And when I say we, that team, I don't have any knowledge of it. Mr. Blake doesn't get any knowledge of it because, again, under privacy protections and those laws, we don't get that information. That is between the customer, the rider, and our investigation team, and they will get back to the customer and let them know what the decision was made, what was done, and how to go forward after that point. So I can't tell you how many drivers get released. All I know is that it does happen. And I know once a report is made, that driver is immediately unlinked from being able to do WMATA rides at that point.
Okay. So last question. I want to make it fast because I know we have people that want to speak. This information that you give me is very valuable. Sort of working through Mr. Blake here, would you be agreeable to coming and talking to a local guide dog users group to explain to me, to explain to them what you just explained to me, and you could hear directly from them?
You know what? I would be more than happy to do that. I just literally did that about a couple of months ago for the customers of Nashville WeGo. And so we have a presentation ready and a video and
beautiful,
a whole bunch of other stuff. When you're ready, let us know, Mr. Blake.
Can I work through Mr. Blake?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Okay, and actually, we can let Mr. Blake introduce you, and then you can get beat up, whatever. It would
Not a
be
problem. But
different.
no, in all seriousness, so Pat,
Yes.
this is something that I enjoy talking to these groups about because I feel that Uber should be available for everyone. It shouldn't
Beautiful.
just be for the able-bodied
Right, right,
or
right.
someone
No, I
without a
agree.
disability.
Yeah.
And so, whatever I can do to help fix that, I will work on. And we also have actually somebody that works with these groups in particular. I'll see if I can get her to either if we're doing this virtual or in person. I'm based in
Oh,
Atlanta.
this would be virtual. Yeah.
Yeah. So if
No,
we're
this
doing
is.
this virtual, I think there's somebody else I can get on here from that deals with this 24/7, and I'll be able to get her on the call as
Okay.
well. And
Excellent.
so yeah,
That's
you have
exactly
somebody
what
else
I
to be
need.
on. Yep.
Yeah. And Mr. Blank, I'll work through you to get the proper contact information and we'll work that.
Yes,
Excellent.
sir.
All
Let's
right.
do it.
Great.
Thank you.
All
Good.
right.
Thank you, sir.
Sam, you'll be the last to speak because I need to get to customer public comment because it's 5:35. We have a message from the interpreter. Because they're interpreting, please start talking over each other. They have to be able to interpret. Please keep that in mind. Thank you with love. Sandy, and then Anu, you're going to help me with customer comment period because I see customers' hands raised and want to address everyone before 6 o'clock. Sandy, you're the last to speak.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Sandy Newzel, senior Caucasian, white hair. I want to thank you for all the wonderful work that Uber does for people with disabilities, either through Metro Access or at large. And my comment is a little bit similar to Philippa Mazel's, and possibly Christian Blake was referring to me. I have written it up, and I think he's probably passed it along to you. I was going to a senior ret a retirement community. This is a work thing for me. For every month for 2 years, it worked out fine. And then suddenly they started dropping me off, not at the retirement community's main entrance, but down the hill across a very busy street to an address that has a completely different street address where it's the Oh, I don't know, assisted living. It's a different part of the facility, but it has a different name. And so the next 3 times that I went there, I put in the correct address, Old Dominion Drive, and I got dropped. They tried to take me to this other place across Kirby Road, but I finally learned the key words to tell the driver. I can't see very well, but I was able to say, no, go back out to the road, go straight across and go up the hill, curve right, curve left. Finally, you'll see the tent over the entrance and we'll get to the correct address. Then it got to the point that when I called for my return trip from the retirement community and I'm at the main entrance to go home to my home, the driver started the they started coming to the incorrect address across Kirby Road. So this is it, does Uber learn from its mistakes to continue the mistakes? I don't get it. But anyway, I think you have this information from Mr. Blake. And Mr. Blake, if you haven't already sent it, please send it again. I just want to bring this to your attention. I hope that you can correct it because the drop-off location I requested a valid address is more than a quarter of a mile and a busy street crossing away from where I'm getting dropped off and supposedly picked up. Okay, I'll stop because I know we're short on time, but thank
And
you for
Sandy,
listening.
not a problem.
I'm
We'll work
not
on it.
trying to jump in as much as I don't know how to raise my hand.
No, we need to. We're gonna come to public comment right now.
I'm just saying I want to
Let me
raise
address
it, but
it.
I don't know how. I'm
All right,
not seeing it.
Anu will recognize you because we'll be in
Okay,
the
thank you.
comments next. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Sandy, again, thank you again for bringing it up. Christian did send that to me, and we are working on it. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer than we would like because we're doing these on an individual basis, and we're doing this with, in some cases, for hundreds all over the country. And so I will continue to work on it, and I will double check with the team and make sure that we get this done for you.
Thank you
Thank you
so
very
much.
much.
You're very
Anu,
welcome.
you can give your spiel and let's go ahead with the public comments because I see all the hands raised from members of the public.
Thank you, Chair Samford. This is Anu. I just want to remind members of the public, when you are recognized, please unmute yourself to make your comments. The timer will be on for 2 minutes. We just want to practice this to ensure that any members of the public, if they would like to make comments, they get an opportunity to do so. So we will begin with Pamela White, followed by Janice Samuel, and then Miles Harris. So Pamela, you are off mute, and when you start speaking, the timer will begin.
Yes, this is Pamela White, Black, middle age. The issue I'm having, it might be an IT issue that I'm no notice having, and it's like maybe on Sundays I might want to be picked up at 11:15, and I put it in the system, and I have to do this often. I have to keep doing it, cut it off. I'm thinking it's my computer. I'm not sure. I know it's not my computer, but I put it in. I want to be picked up from church at 11:15. They want to come and pick me up at 10:30, and I'm seeing this often. Like if I put in a trip, they want to, and I say pickup time. They want to pick me up 45 minutes before the time that I'm asking to be picked up. I'm not sure if anybody else has had this issue before, but I'm noticing that often, and I'm thinking maybe I'll cut my computer off and try it again or come back later. Sometime it might, be working, and sometimes I might have to do it another day or something. But that's one of the issues that I've been having a lot, and I just wanted to bring it. I don't know if anybody else is having this issue, but I would like to let that be known. And also today I had an issue with my trips being all over the place, and they did give me an Uber, and I just want to put 1015 18th Street in for the Uber people to check out, because I missed one ride because he was, I don't know if he's in the back of the alley, and he kept saying, "I'm here, I'm here," and I'm keep telling him I'm outside in the front of the building. And so the address is 1015 18th Street Northwest. And that's about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Janice Samuel.
Good afternoon, everyone. Two Uber issues that have been stated, but I want to reiterate them. One is the Uber driver not going to the address, especially with addresses that are on corners. The Uber driver is going to a different street, so it's not even the address that's being given. So they're just looking at pins, so they're not looking at the address. Or, I mean, since we're working with blind and low vision individuals, they'll when you're in the city, they might pull up in front of the address on a different side of the street instead of pulling up on the same side of the street as the address. The other issue is what Pat had discussed. It's nice to know that you will take complaints about drivers not taking guide dogs, but what is a rider to do at the point of request? Because it's nice to know you can go back home and you can put in the complaint, but I'm standing here on the street and they will not take me and my guide dog. So what is an individual to do in that case? Thank you.
Yeah, so good evening, Miss good afternoon, Miss Samuel. The answer is you immediately call, where's my ride? Put it in directly as a complaint, but also they will rebook the trip immediately, and then we will investigate following that. But yes, they should call, where's my ride? And as we do the things that we're doing, the rebooking should take place right away, and then we'll follow up with the investigation, immediately have that person removed from our trips, and then follow the Uber investigation after that.
Thank you.
Mr. Blake, this is Ms. White. Are you going to look into my issue? Will you be looking into my issue?
Yes, ma'am, Ms. White. So what you were referring to, and you said it correctly, 45 minutes. What you're experiencing is, as ridership is growing, especially on Sunday mornings when we have a lot of trips going to churches and other places, but with Sunday mornings is what we call the scheduling window. 90% of the time, a customer says they want 8 o'clock pickup. Generally speaking, they're going to get 8, 8:05, 8:10. But remember, we do have an ADA allowable scheduling window. The ADA allows up to an hour on each side. We're 45 minutes on each side. So what the system is doing is looking for a pickup time within 45 minutes before or 45 minutes after your requested time. Now, this shouldn't happen all the time. Now, if it's happening a whole lot, I'll look into it because while, again, we're busy on Sunday mornings, I don't think we're that busy where any one particular customer is a statistical anomaly like that. But what you are experiencing is something allowed by the ADA, but we try our very best to minimize it, but it is a factor.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, just on Saturday when I do it, I'm noticing every Saturday when I do it for Sunday, it's happening. But I'll just keep a record of it and I'll let you know.
Yeah, please do. Send me a text this weekend once you book your trip.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, please do.
Thank you.
Next we have Miles Harris, and then who do we have after that? Anu?
After Miles Harris, Chair Simon Ford, this is Anu. We have Deborah Dunaway and then Marsha. So,
Okay.
Miles Harris, please go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Kimberly Harris. I'm the parent of Miles Harris. We're newbies to Metro Access door to door. Miles is fully eligible for Metro Access. We try to book two separate rides and have been denied both times. We've learned that our address is out of the area, out of your service area. Now, I live in Prince George's County. I live in the southern part of Prince George's County. And for Metro Access to be accessible for everyone, I'm just not understanding why they're not coming out to our address. And like I said, he was fully eligible. So I'm just trying to understand this.
Need a bus in the area.
I'm sorry.
So that's a good question. And the way the service area works, or the way paratransit works, not the service area, the way the paratransit works is that paratransit is no different than the bus or the train. So if you do not see any bus service or rail service in your neighborhood at a particular time that your son is traveling, then theoretically there is no paratransit service either.
Okay, so can, I'm sorry.
So fully eligible, I just wanted to say, deals with him as an individual and how we have classified his eligibility for service. But that does not relate, fully eligible does not relate to the service area itself. You could actually live in New York City and be fully eligible for Metro Access, but in order for us to transport you from New York or from a part of Prince George's County, you have to come into the services.
Okay, that still doesn't make sense to me because we still live in Prince George's County and he still needs to get around. We live in an area where there's no buses, no trains, no anything, and I thought that what Metro Access was
No,
for.
ma'am, and that's and that and I know that sometimes that's what and we in society as well just need to inform the public as to what paratransit is for more so. It's not that because there's no bus or train service that a person is eligible for paratransit. It is the service is because that person has a disability that prevents them from using the bus or train service. So that's what paratransit is for. So as you point out, if you live somewhere where there is no bus or train service for a person who doesn't have a disability or doesn't have a disability that prevents them from using bus or rail, then the person with a disability does not have any public transit service either in that area. But we can talk more about it. I'll be happy to speak more with you and your family tomorrow if you wish. But yes, you're unfortunately you're outside the service area, so Metro Access cannot come directly to your home to pick your son up or drop him off. Therefore, they tell you a location, but that's probably inconvenience to you and your family. But that's the nature of public transportation, unfortunately.
Yeah, but that's okay. Metro Access says that you're fully accessible for all persons with ADA, Americans with disability. And correct. Just because of my address, that just doesn't make sense to me because I'm living out of your service area.
No, but what I'm saying to you, your son is absolutely eligible for Metro Access, but Metro Access cannot go where, you know, just for example, again, let's use Baltimore a little closer, Anne Arundel County. Metro Access is not going to go all the way out there, whether the customer is fully eligible or, you know, conditionally eligible.
Mr. Blake, may I say a sentence that might help Ms. Harris?
Yes, ma'am, sure.
Ms. Harris, so paratransit, it means the transit is parallel to the bus and rail system. So the Metro Access goes to the same places that the bus or rail will go within 3/4 of a mile. So since there is no service of the bus or rail within 3/4 of a mile of where you live, Metro Access doesn't go there either. It's a problem throughout the county.
Yes. Yes.
But para doesn't mean what a lot of people think, you know, like quadriplegic or something. Para means parallel
to the metro system. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you putting it that way, I understand that.
Thank you.
So maybe there should be another service where people who live out of your area can get some type. I don't know. But yeah. I don't want to take up any more time.
We've been fighting for that. Right, so we're working on it.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Our next customer.
Okay. Next person will be Deborah Dunaway. Ms. Dunaway, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
And then followed by Marsha.
Okay.
And then we have Marsha, yes.
Okay. I had something happen yesterday that I found very upsetting. I have back pain. I'm on my way to having more MRIs on this. And I've made this very clear with a note from my doctor over 3 years ago. And first of all, they weren't even, when I looked to see if my ride was assigned, it wasn't even assigned till after 2 hours before. So if I was going to cancel the ride, I wouldn't have been able to cancel it because I didn't even know if I was on Metro Access or an Uber. It specifically says I need a sedan because of my back. And those new vans, I just want to make this very point, the seats are still on the wheel well. And that makes my back not well. And they're lower to the street also. And I basically was in so much pain, I was going down 355 crying my eyes out. I made it very clear that I could not do that. And when I talked to a supervisor earlier about this, Ms. Jones, she basically said, well, when you call Mr. Blake, tell the truth, don't lie about it. I am so sick of this treatment that I receive. I cannot. That van, the new van that was done, it's still just as crappy as the other ones. You can put any padding on those seats you want. The seat is on the wheel well. That is why My doctor wrote a note saying that I needed that. So I'm very unhappy about the way I've been treated. And I didn't even get to where I needed to go. I got off when they picked someone else up and I took a call-in ride home.
All right. We still need to get to other people. Thank you.
And the only thing I would say, and I do respect and understand the wishes of customers for particular vehicle types.
It's not a wish. It's a need.
Okay.
I'm not going to be in pain going down every road just so you can be happy that I got an Uber here, I didn't get an Uber there. Yeah. I'm not doing that.
Okay, so let me just be very clear about some things, however you want to describe. Number one, vehicle preference.
It's not a preference. Stop saying that because it's a lie. You lie to yourself every time you say it's a preference.
Okay. I'm just going to speak now. We heard you. Vehicle preference has already been ruled out by the FTA. Now, if folks want to advocate, and I've always said it, I support your advocacy. If the FTA wants to change their longstanding position on this, that is absolutely fine. I can tell you right now, as I've said to you all before, the fact that Metro Access even allows customers to tell us what kind of vehicle they want to use, and that we absolutely attempt to, but we cannot guarantee it, is something you're not going to find at any other.
There was no attempt whatsoever. I was accused of lying by a supervisor.
And then you and I know what I went through. Okay.
You asked me to take a ride on that. I took a ride. Okay. And I'm really sorry I did.
And in the future, again,
I've had 2 to 3 years of sedans and Ubers. I haven't been in a van yet.
Okay, and yesterday we did not have a sedan available.
That's crap. You've given me Ubers on Sundays. Stop misleading everybody about how you didn't have something available. No. When I called you, you went out of your way to tell me I wasn't going to get an Uber, and yet you told me I could have an Uber to get home from the place I dropped at. You could have just given me one to Greenbelt.
This is personal. When you ask that, see, now you're asking me to do something that's personal and preferential to you. That is not public transportation.
That is not personal and preferential when it creates pain for me.
It is. Okay. So let me just explain to the general body. Please don't interrupt, Ms. Dunaway. You and I could talk again later. But let me just explain in general. The ADA, when you first look at ADA and paratransit, the very first thing they say, you cannot prioritize trips based on a purpose, person, or reason. So anything I do for one customer, I need to be able to do for everybody. So I cannot just give somebody Uber if I can't just give it to everybody who wants an Uber.
This isn't about wanting. It's about a medical condition where I'm going to be in pain on what you guys provide.
No, let me explain that. Paratransit, public transportation, is not medical transportation. So we do not do it based on a medical need.
Then why did I have to show that I could walk when I was being dealing with this?
It is close to 6 o'clock. We're about to lose our interpreters.
I'm trying to explain, but we'll talk about it. I'll explain paratransit.
No, you don't need to explain it to me. It's all crap. I'll talk to human relations lawyers for
please do.
Right. Thank you.
And I've said that. I want people to advocate for what they want. And again, I've been in this business for 20 years. I know how these things have been ruled. I've created this type of program in Baltimore. When folks said they needed only taxis after that, they were overruled. If somebody says there's a civil right now and an entitlement to Uber trips, I'll be more than happy to adhere to that, but I doubt if that's going to be the rule.
It was your choice not to give me the Uber, but you give me an Uber to pick me up from where I got off because I was crying. God, this is such a bullcrap thing.
All right, next is Marsha. You may speak.
Good evening. I'm going to try to outline my issues very quickly. One has to do with circuitous routing for passengers. And
uneven reimbursement when promises meaning like are not met in terms of arriving inside of the window and getting a passenger to their destination within the estimated onboard time. Most recently, yesterday, I was picked up. I live in Petworth, and there was another rider on board. We were taken to Northern Virginia, Old Town Alexandria. My destination was Upper Silver Spring, by Beers Mill Road. I did not arrive within my estimated window. I made a complaint. I was told because the driver made it to the pickup window just barely, I couldn't get reimbursed. I said, but that's only half of the agreement. The other part is that the estimated onboard time would be X minutes, and that my trip far exceeded that. I was told as recently as today when someone called to acknowledge my complaint that I could not be reimbursed for the same reason, even though the estimated onboard time exceeded the actual board time exceeded onboard time exceeded the estimated, that because the driver had gotten there within the window, I could not have that money reimbursed to my account. I don't think that's fair, and I would like to have that addressed because, number one, if they took me to Virginia to get to Montgomery County, and I'm outside of the window, that should have been an issue in and of itself, regardless of what time they picked me up. The total promise was to pick me up within a certain window and to get me off that van at my destination also within a certain window. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great point. Yes, right now we do not provide a trip credit for trips that exceed the fixed ride equivalent time. They're less than 5% of these trips, so I will check and see about your specific trip. Please, we'll get your information and I'll check on that trip. But right now, you're right. If there's ever a trip, and again, it's very, very few because we don't have that many shared rides. So that was an unfortunate experience yesterday. But we do not provide trip credits for trips that are outside the fixed ride equivalent time, but we do for late trips. So you were picked up on time, but I will take a look and we'll be in touch and talk to you separately, okay?
Thank you. I hope you'll do that because that really is an agreement. If you book me and say you'll be on board estimated 72 minutes and I'm there an hour and a half, and this is not the first time, my maximum onboard time for a trip that if it's done door to door is 40 minutes has been 4 hours. So this is not an outlier, sir, and that's why I wish to stress it.
I'm going to check the record because, again, you're a new name to me. I'm not familiar with you.
I have filed complaints online. I'm usually working at this time. And so you haven't seen me or heard me on the Zoom meeting, but this is not a new complaint. And I've gotten the palliatives for, 10 years now.
I will check and see. But, again, if you're a statistical outlier, I have ways of dealing with that.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, mine was short.
All right. Grover, did you have a comment to end us with and then Anu?
No, it was taken care of. Thank you very much.
All right. Anu, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you. So I just want to remind any members of the public, if you would like to submit your public comments through email, you can send them at metroaacchair@vermata.com. That's spelled out MetroAAC. CHAIR at WMATA.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100 and we will follow up. That concludes my announcement. Thank you.
And just to let everyone know, the work plan that we'll have, I will send out a draft. We didn't get to it because of our conversations. That'll be on the September agenda. And Anu will send out the draft that I will have to her before in the next day or two. With that, I want a motion to adjourn because we probably lost our interpreters. Can I get a motion for adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions. This meeting is adjourned.
No meeting for September, August.